topic today is shifting focus. Shifting focus. It is simplified into idol worship. Idol worship. But I call it shifting focus because of the way the narration will go. We know that one of the Ten Commandments that God gave to the children of Israel, gave through Moses to God's children, is that you must not serve any other God besides me. Let's go to that place. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3.
Do not worship any other gods beside me.
Do not worship any other God besides me. Okay. In a simple way, anything that is not the worship of God, the living God, the only God, is an idol worship. That's what God is telling us here. So, either a person calls it an idol or not, if it's to worship it and it's not God, capital G, then it's an idol worship. And when God was passing down 10 commandments, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, he made sure that, what number was that? Is that one? Do not worship any other God beside me. What number in the 10 commandments? It's number 7. So, you must not worship any other. God made sure that it's part of the 10 commandments. It's very important to God. Now, I want to ask us a question. Why would God say, don't worship any other God beside me? Because he jealous God. He values himself. God wants us to live in holiness, yes. Yes, sir. Who else? Somebody? God does not want anything that will be comparable to him. So, as a result of that, God said, I must not see anything around you that is will use to replace me or you will think is closer to me. The reason is because God loves it when it's all about him. And I mentioned that it does not matter how good an appearance in front of anybody. If it's there, God is not happy with it. God does not want anything that symbolizes an image. Okay, now, I want to fast forward now. When we talked about Moses, the Israelites in Egypt, to throughout the wilderness, to the promised land, they cried for a king, and God gave them Saul. Saul misbehaved. God gave them David. David ruled. He died. The kingdom was passed down to his son Solomon. Solomon died. His son Rehoboam took over. And from Rehoboam, the kingdom got divided to two. Then went to Jeroboam. Two were left with Rehoboam. Now, Jeroboam now made sure that he introduced idol worship to the lineage of people that worship God. I'm not saying that they were holy before. They were disobedient people. In fact, God called them stiff-necked people. That's how God referred to children of Israel in the wilderness. They were always stubborn. But there was no official idol among the people of the Lord. Until Jeroboam came to the scene, he introduced idol as an image in place of God. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 25. Let's read. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the mountain of Ephraim and dwelt there. Also, he went out from there and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom may return to the house of David. If these people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of the people will turn back to their Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Verse 28. Therefore, the king asked advice, made 2 calves of gold and said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. See how it all started? The man, out of his own selfish ambition, he did not want to lose the kingdom. He said, instead of you going to Jerusalem, where people actually worship in truth, you don't need to travel that far. Let me help you. I built one here, I built one temple here, I built another one, from one border to another border, down to Bathsheba. He said, you worship there, it's still the same God. Are you following? Now, why was it convenient? Let's just blame Jeroboam now. Let's talk about idol worship. Why was it convenient for people to always see an image and appreciate it more than God that they don't see? Why? Huh? Because you see the image, exactly. What you see, you find gratification in it than what you don't see. It's always like that. And that is the meaning of idol worship. People that worship idol will not say, we want to go and do something bad. They worship it because they need a confirmation that this thing is true. What I'm doing is true. Now, for example, I'm serving God. I don't see God. I dance before God, I don't see. I talk about God, I don't see. Which one is better? So it's much more convenient for me to appreciate what I see than what I don't see. That is why people get into idol worship. Instant gratification is what leads people to idol worship. And now let's talk about what is idol worship. In those days, idol worship is an image. Today, as we know, idol worship is not only about image. Idol worship could be anything that takes the place of God. It can be in your heart. I need money. Money can become my idol. I love my job. My job can become an idol. Oh, I love my child. My child can become an idol. Oh, I want a good home. It can become an anything positive, whatever it is, can turn to an idol. Now, we've talked about instant gratification that leads to all these things. Let's simplify it. I have two categories for a few categories. I call it money, fame, flesh, in form of sexuality or any other thing. I also talk about, let's even base it on those three. When we're talking about fame, why would people go far and beyond to try to impress somebody? It's because they want you to sing their praise. Right? Why would people go and do crazy things on social media? It's because they want acceptance. They want people to clap for them. Right? Why would people kidnap and do money ritual? It's because they want money. They want to ride a flashy car. They want people to see them, admire them, clap for them, sing their praise. Let me tell you something. Don't you know that even in our society, even in Christian circles today, that many things have become our idol worship? Some people cannot even pray without putting the name of their pastors in their prayer. We have a lot of things that are replacing God. That God, we think they are good, but God is frowning at them. What is wrong in you saying the God of James Taiwo? Answer my prayer. But why are you saying that? Are you putting James Taiwo in the place of God? Or you are comparing James Taiwo with God? Or you think like, because you mentioned James Taiwo, now your prayer has to be answered. You see how we shift our attention from God himself? So, we get into idol worship so much that things are not working for us anymore. And let me tell you something. There is no sin in the whole world that is as worse in the presence of God than idol worship. No sin. You talk about killing, you talk about murder. It's bad. And it's nothing to compare with idol worship. Look at what God did in the book, in the scripture about people that worship idol. God wiped human beings that he created himself. He wiped them off because he was having idol. And he hand gave the land to another people that he called his own people. And when those people went into idol worship, that's what God did too. He sold his own children into slavery for 400 years. Idol worship, God does not smile with it at all. I don't care how you and I feel about it. And let me tell you something. Again, I'm repeating myself. He will not have to present himself as if it's a bad thing. Let's check ourselves. What is it in our life that is taking the place of God? Those are the reasons why prayers are not answered. Those are the reasons why we have to struggle. Those are the reasons why demon is oppressing us in our sleep. Those are the reasons why things are not working. Let me tell you, if this true God is the one that we are serving, and you are mixing him with something else, you are going to pay for it. It does not matter what you do. Your long hour prayer, your 365 days prayer and fasting cannot change the position of God. Inasmuch, something is there to that is comparable with God. Brothers and sisters, let's take it seriously. Amen? Now, what are the benefits that we get? The benefit of idol worship. Don't let us say that it's all bad. No. There are some benefits. That is why people do it. There are benefits in idol worship. When we're talking about idol worship, I don't want us to get into the connotation of negative. I have explained it that anything, money in your pocket, can become an idol. And like I said, instant gratification. Alright? Look at people have sung their praise in the past. Where are they today? When we're talking about idol worship, it's sweet for the moment, but it has a lasting consequences. It has a lot of significant consequences, which we have to be super careful about. Amen? Idol worship, let's be careful. It is always sweet when it is presented to us. But it has a lasting consequence. May the Lord save us. May the Lord watch over us. May the Lord order our steps so that we don't make a very dangerous mistakes. That's a mistake that are normal. That's a mistake that are dangerous. May the Lord order our steps in the name of Jesus. Now, when we're talking about not serving idol, what other benefit do we get? Now, we're not talking about serving God. What are the benefits that we get? We should all know. We are all Bible scholars. If you serve God, you don't serve idol. What do you get? You got the presence of God with you, yes. Peace and eternal life, yes. God will be jealous of you. I summarize that into God will answer your prayers. Prayers will be answered. Listen, all of us have needs in our lives. Everybody has a need in his or her life. But when we're talking about some prayers, some issues about our lives, God will take care of it. Again, I want to repeat, there is a need in everybody's life. I have my own need, you have your own need. But there are some things that God will have to take care of because of who you are as a child. So when you get into God, God will stand in gap for you. Some of us don't deserve to be living anymore because of what the enemies have concluded. But God said, no, this is my child. So when you serve God, God will be there for you. Don't get carried away with those things you are still trusting God for. But God will go out of his way on your behalf because of who you are in his presence. How can I be a child of God? I see I don't jump on it. I try to stay by the side of God. And God will allow the devil to take glory over me. If God allows this, maybe because God is working on something to glorify himself in a greater way in my life. Because he said, I am God. My glory I will share with no man. No devil can share the glory of God. I have talked about us not falling into the trap of the sweetness that comes with instant gratification that the enemy will present to us. I want us to move forward. When we serve God, God blesses us. But I want us to talk about what should we do to avoid the pitfall of not falling into idol worship. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. What I want to talk about from now on is very important. What should we be doing? Somebody read that place for us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8.
Be sober, mm-hmm. Be vigilant, mm-hmm. Because your adversary the devil, mm-hmm. As a roaring lion, mm-hmm. Walking about, seeking who he may devour.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary is roaring about, is wandering about, roaring like a lion, seeking who he may devour. That is, you have an active enemy. You have someone that is sensitive about bringing you down. You have someone that wants to rob you off of your blessing. Okay? You have a sensitive enemy around you who knows that there's a potential in you. There's a blessing on your path and I want to wipe it off. So be vigilant. But I'm talking about what should you do to avoid the pitfall of not falling into the trap of idol worship. The first one I want to say is this. See your weaknesses as a battleground. Okay? Now, I mentioned the other time that all of us, we have needs in our lives. That is also similar to all of us having a weakness in our life. Me standing in front of you, I have a weakness. You sitting there, you have a weakness. You know, all those big men or women of God you see out there, they have their own weaknesses. So don't let us idolize anybody. We human beings. But we're not talking about them, we're talking about us. And we're not talking about me, we're talking about you. When you're talking about yourself, I talk about myself. Understand that your weakness is not a place to pacify yourself. I'm a human being now. No, don't do that. If you love yourself, you should not be doing that to yourself. See it as a battleground. What is the button that the devil can easily push? Be sensitive about it. If yours is anger, right? Most of the time, it takes a crazy person, sir, to be angry with himself when nothing is bothering him. So none of us is crazy, right? We're with our right mind. So that means something must be poking you to get angry. Be sensitive about those things, factors around you that can poke you to anger. Some, it could be because you trust people too much. And so they keep disappointing you, now you get angry. Some, it could be because you look at yourself too much. You have high expectations of what people should do for you. And they don't do it, you get angry. So look at that as you walk about it. Work on it and be sensitive. When I say sensitive, know your trigger. Amen? If you know your enemy's intention, what should you do? Huh? You get yourself, you be careful, huh? Be sensitive about them. They are there to push your body. They will push your body. They will try to slide you so that you can fall. They want to laugh. They want to mock you. There are some people that cannot be in your life for the virtue of who they are. I don't want you to get paranoid and think everybody is your enemy. No. But there are some enemies that God has revealed to you. They should not be your best friend. They are not your enemies, but they can also not be your best friend. Am I talking to somebody? Amen? If you know what can trip you, don't go through that route. Be smart about it. The next one is lie out of much of what they say. If you are the one that people tell you, you lie a lot, maybe your spouse. I'm not talking about when you are fighting, no. Because when you are fighting, every half of what they say is not true. Right? Proverbs 10:19, when the words are many, sin is unavoidable. It's wise. Hallelujah. If yours is lying, what should you do? Slow down. Don't talk too much. So that you don't commit yourself and people will start saying you are a liar. Amen. When we talk about for the adults, the sexuality problem. Right? A lot of people, a lot of Christians, children of God have fallen into sexual sin. They don't mean it. They don't pray for it, they don't want it. But it could be because of actual relationship. It could be because they were not defining their boundary from us, from the startup. As a result of that, it becomes a trap. You know, the Bible says from where we read, it said the enemy is wandering around, running like a lion, seeking who he may devour. And that one is similar to what we're talking about here. Anything, if some relationship is not well defined, it can become a trap right away. Hallelujah. If you are a single, going to the beach 24/7 should not be something you are doing. A lot of things we can save, guide ourselves as a result of being sensitive to the Spirit. Amen. The last one is fear. Fear. If you are constantly being harassed by the devil on fear, telling you, you don't know what will happen. Because of what is happening right now, this thing may happen. Police may pull me over. This one may happen. Maybe my job. Maybe what my friend will be saying behind me. Listen, this is a manipulation from the pit of hell. Stealing your joy away. We're talking about idol worship. Anything can become your idol. What should you do? We're talking about what to do to overcome all these things. Be bold, yes. Remind yourself. Because you see this flesh, it's a deceiver. I pray you don't have a problem. If something is bothering you, your mind will always be falling back there. We'll always be going back there. So what you should be doing is encourage yourself with the word of God. Look for places. Go to Google. Look for anywhere that you can get references in the Bible. Start reading it and be saying it to yourself. It's like doesn't agree, but it doesn't matter. Continue to confess the word of God so that your faith can be boosted. There are more than conquerors in the name of Jesus Christ. And lastly, let us understand the place of prayer in our lives. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The one that God had to send an angel to herald his coming to the world. And he came here to the world and he was sleeping on the mountain and praying. If Jesus had performed miracle, he will perform miracle during the day. He will open the eye of the blind. He made the lame to walk. He will raise the dead. Then at night, when disciples are sleeping, he's on the mountain praying. So that means something is very important about prayer. Is it not in the name of Jesus you pray? And Jesus himself prayed. So who are you? There's a place of prayer. You may not feel it. You don't have to feel it. It's not about feeling. Please, don't be tired of prayer. Some of us don't know. We brag that we don't pray a lot, but you are praying sometimes in the past, and that's what is working for you right now. Your parents pray for you that time, that's why things are working for you. It's not because of your holiness, though. Adurangba. Please commit everything in your life to God's hand because the devil is seeking opportunity. Prayer checkmate the devil, stop him, silence him, incapacitate him, make him become weaker. So that is why prayer is very important. We have the custom in Christian community of closing our eyes and praying. Don't get trapped into that. You don't have to close your eyes when you're praying. Don't make it difficult when it's not. Sometimes open your eyes and start to say some words. So the devil makes us to feel like prayer is work. It's not work. It's conversation. Talk. You don't have to raise your voice if you don't have to. Just continue to talk. Communicate things to God. Bring things into God's hands. Pray over your spouse. Right? Pray over your employer. Pray over your job place. There are much hate in the workplaces than you can imagine. Put this into God's hands. Commit it to prayer. That makes you more powerful than them. It's you that don't see or they see. Anywhere you are, is it bad to rise and it's because of light around you? Why don't you make use of who you are? You are already a terror. Now you are hiding. That means you don't know yourself. Be strong. Be bold. Be courageous. And take the land. Amen? That is the end of the message. We talked about high devotion. Worship. You must do what? You must be sensitive. This must not play out. Don't let things control you. You control. Let us be on our feet and decree the word of God into our lives as the message has come across to you. Like I said, a lot of things are not negative, but they are idols. The devil is using them to control our lives. Okay? Fear, lack, sickness, all these things can become idols. Break yourself free from them. Use your authority. Please pray. I'm not even expecting you to share who you don't feel like, but I want you to pray today. Please commit it to God's hands. In the name of Jesus, I am more than conqueror. I am blessed. I'm anointed. I'm empowered. I'm a child of God. I have made God my God. I serve no image. I serve no material. I serve nothing other than God himself. Nothing is important in my life than God himself. Only God. And God alone is my Father. And so God, let everything that want to compete with you in my life, let them fall flat. In the name of Jesus. As Dagon fell flat before the Ark of Covenant, let all my enemies fall flat before you. Because you are God, you are incomparable. That you will judge it, you will condemn it, you will destroy it. In the name of Jesus, I am more than conqueror by he that loves me. I decree victory over my home, over my wife, over my children. I decree victory over my life, over my health. I decree victory. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Lastly, you are going to pray for yourself. I want you to say, I proclaim blessing into my life. Everything that is blessing of God, let it follow me. Let it take hold of me. Let it take charge of me. I proclaim blessing of God into my life. Everything that is a blessing is my portion. Everywhere I go, I am blessed. Everything I touch is blessed. All my undertakings become blessed. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. I want to pray for all our children, including people that are children and not here. I want to pray for them. Our children will present them before you. Let the hand of God rest upon them for signs and for wonders. Anything that is not of God concerning our children is canceled. Our children will not die before their time. Terminal disease is not a portion of our children. Confusion is not the portion of our children. Bad report is not the portion of our children. Failure is not the portion of our children. Wrong decisions, wrong moves, wrong steps of life is not the portion of our children. The security of the Lord is the portion of our children. The mark of Christ is upon our children. They will be extending, expanding, and growing. They will find favor in the sight of God and in the sight of men. Things will work together for good and for God's benefit in their lives. They shall continue to become estate of the Lord, heritage of the Lord, choice of the Most High God. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.